The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
The Crossman Conversation is hosted by John Crossman. John's heart is to see our community of leaders unite around what we have in common. John will be joined by political leaders, religious leaders, as well as activists making a difference in our nation. Here is your host for the Crossman Conversation, John Crossman.
Hello, this is John Crossman, and we're on the Crossman Conversation. And before we get started, Mike, the producer, my boss.
Not your boss.
Mike, I got a quick story I just wanted to share with you.
Yeah,
so here's a crazy thing. So, you know I've done work in civil rights and stuff like that. A good part, most of my life, I've been involved in it. And one of the weird things, weird, sad, but there's been good come out of it. After Mr. Floyd got murdered, I started getting calls from different groups asking me to be on committees and stuff like that and helping. And, of course, glad to do that. But this one group came to me and they said, hey, and it's a real estate group. And they're like, hey, we want to have a diversity champion person and we want you to lead it. And so I said, okay. I said, but here's the deal. I'm like, I'm not going to do it unless I can have a co-chair. And I want my co-chair to be black because it's kind of ridiculous, you know, ridiculously white guy, you know, what kind of lead this. So they said, well, we're going to get back to you. So they came back to me and they said, John, we've approved you as the chair and we've approved that you can pick your co-chair. And I said, well, thank you. And then I said, is that because you don't know any black people? And there was a pause and they said, yeah. So anyway, so who I picked as my co-chair is our guest today, Cindy Campbell. So Cindy, hello.
Hello. So that's a funny intro.
That's a funny intro. I'm sorry. So Cindy Campbell, let me just tell you about her real quick, Mike. But anyway, that's kind of how that all came up. I met Cindy Campbell after that. I did some research and I said, wanted a co-chair that knew about real estate, an executive, and people had told me about Cindy Campbell. And listen, Mike and our listeners and Cindy, hear this. I've said I've worked in this race space for a long time. And so when I first met Cindy, I didn't know her, and we had a breakfast and some meetings. She has educated me significantly on a topic I've been working on my whole life. So that's the real introduction. Cindy Campbell, who's an attorney and in real estate and a very impressive leader in community, that's the real intro. And so, Cindy, I really do appreciate you making some time for us today.
I thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here and to share with you all, my knowledge.
Oh, that's awesome. So let's start with this. You're a lawyer, so that's cool. Amazing. What kind of law do you do?
Yeah. I'm in commercial real estate, obviously.
Yeah.
I specialize in acquisitions, development work, leasing, dispositions. I mean, if it goes in the dirt, I can do it. It's exciting, contrary to what some people think. But what's exciting is actually getting to my clients' resolutions, making their deals happen, and just bringing their vision to fruition. That's really what I love to see. So sometimes walking by certain projects that I've worked on is very satisfying.
It's funny, Cindy, is like, I know coming to all areas of business and life, occupations, there's kind of the topic and there's like specialization. And that sometimes there's attorneys who are, they're really good litigators, like they're real estate attorneys, but their specialty is like they evict tenants or, like that kind of stuff. And then there's other kinds that are more transaction related. And you sound like you're a real like executive team member. Like you're that's how you come across. You're like a part of the team that's getting everything done. Is that an accurate description or do you really enjoy evicting tenants? I don't know. Tell us a little about that.
At all. I'll tell you right now, I'm a transactional attorney. And yes, I view myself as a partner with my clients. I want to know what makes them tick. I want to know the business aspect because that helps me to advise them. And so the clients that I service right now, we come alongside them as a partner. We're not just your lawyers and here to just let you know about the risk, but we'll help you to make decisions as well that are safe for your company. So that to me is very satisfying.
Well, and that's a good point to our listeners who, obviously throughout their lives will need different legal advice, I'm sure. It makes sense that like, hey, if you need a will or estate planning, that's one lawyer. If you need to help like reviewing a contract, different lawyers. So I like hearing that context of what you do is really cool.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And do you have a specific kind of deal that you enjoy? So do you like more development or acquisitions or any kind of area like that in the business?
I mean, I love love acquisition work. I like the negotiating aspect. I love to see, a lot of times I have difficult, my clients are typically the buyer in the transaction, and I love it when we have to go head-to-head with a difficult seller and being able to get everyone to compromise and meet in the middle, because at the end of the day, people just, you know, the seller wants to get their property sold, and my client just wants to buy a piece of property to develop whatever it is that they're trying to develop. So at the end of the day, people want the deal, right? It's just, how are we going to, you know, memorialize the deal so that everyone's happy and can live with the terms for the life of the contract. So I step in the middle to make sure that, number one, my client's needs are met, their goals are going to go off without any hitches, because I have to look around corners and foresee certain things for my clients. But at the end of the day, they're pretty happy, and I'm happy for them.
That's awesome. Like Mike, I hear her talking. I want to go do some deals with her right now.
Yeah, sounds exciting.
Right? Like, I just want to go find something to buy. Wait a minute. I am buying something. I do need to talk to her, you know? All right, well, let me make this transition, Cindy. You know, this is my worldview, okay? Like, I'm a Christian, and in my Christian faith, some people would say, oh, you know, I'm a Christian, ergo I'm going to work in full-time Christian service, and they're going to do that, and that's their life. And of course, we need that, and I super respect that. The other side is, like, I think about myself. If I was making tents, I would want to make great tents. Or if I was a fisherman, I want to catch a lot of fish. You know, like, I'm a business guy, and so I want to do good, healthy business. And then I wanted to also operate in a Christian way. And then I want the money I make to do impact Christian service and projects that can help people. You know, Mike, obviously, when you hear him, you can tell Mike has a voice for radio, right? Like, he's
yes.
He's
got,
I've got a face for radio,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, oh my gosh, he's a good-looking guy. But, you know, Mike's got a sort of a pastoral background, and he's a musician and all that. But he has a remarkable skill set. So when I hear you talk, you know, and you're like, you're this legit, powerful, influential real estate attorney, and you have these interests in equity and inclusion and diversity and women of color in real estate and industry. So, you know, I guess somebody could say to you, like, hey, Cindy, why don't you quit that lawyer stuff and just be like a full-time activist? So can you just talk about that, about, like, when you think about your day of, like, I'm doing my job or doing some clients, also I'm trying to make impact. How do you balance those two?
They're mutually exclusive. I mean, I feel like I'm doing that every day, but maybe in a different context. Maybe, you know, I'm not, you know, a full-time activist, but I can say that in my day-to-day life, like even in my work with CREW, which is commercial real estate women, I'm always looking for a way to diversify something. I'm always looking for the crossover, because one thing I do notice, especially being in commercial real estate where it's a predominantly white space, I notice there's not a lot of crossover, right? And we talk about how we want to do business with, you know, people of other races, and particularly in commercial real estate, like I said, because it's a white-dominated space. But I don't see a lot of the crossover, the action that what the tangible steps or measures that people would take in order for that to happen, right? And I realize, too, that it's because it's relationship-based. So what I've been trying to do is honestly just create our own pipeline of real estate professionals. I mean, reaching out to FAMU and different institutions to find out how we can diversify the commercial real estate space. That's one. Two, getting to know other affinity groups and, you know, what they have to offer in the way of commercial real estate, bringing them into CREW. Once you start doing that, start really putting yourself out there, reaching out to people, really giving them business, and I mean not just breadcrumbs, I mean business, and giving other people, you know, underrepresented groups the opportunity to shine, then people start to realize, hey, we can step outside of our bubble. And as you know, John, commercial real estate is a huge bubble of just the same people that you'll meet all the time.
Well, and so this, go ahead. Sorry.
You know that. And well, so that's what I try to do. I try to see how I can marry other interests within what I do. And so that happens when I'm talking to clients over the phone that may have similar interests to me. So then I'll make suggestions. That happens in my work with CREW, with ULI. It's just something that I practice while I'm practicing.
Well, you know, I always, you know, say this, Cindy, you know, we do actually have diversity in commercial real estate because we have middle-aged white guys and old white guys. So we do have both. I mean, just keep that in mind. All right. So I really, really liked what you said because, you know, sometimes, and you and I have talked about this, so people want to help out on a topic, you know, like race. And so they want to be on a committee or whatever. But, you know, if you really want to make impact, what does that look like? And so if you're helping somebody get business and get that opportunity and then they execute, that's really life changing, right? That's that's oxygen. And that's what you're talking about, correct?
Correct. Correct.
You use the expression crossover. Explain what you meant by that. You said that twice. So tell us what that means.
I mean that I've noticed a pattern where, you know, we have certain spaces and there's not a lot of cross-pollinization, meaning we're not merging ecosystems. We're not, it's almost like we're self-segregating, you know, and it's like we want to move away from that segregation and begin to, you know, homogenize, really, you know, go come in and work together, collaborate together. And that's when we'll see the diversity that everyone, that everyone wants to see. I see that a lot of people, and I know that, you know, it's difficult sometimes or it's challenging to have people leave their comfort zone. Not everyone wants to do that. Not everyone's comfortable doing that. But I think in this day and age, we have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. I know you've heard that so many times. But part of that is being comfortable around people that are not necessarily like you or don't have the same beliefs or don't look like you. But we need to learn to appreciate those differences because in if we're talking about revenue, that's where the revenue is in the differences, is in the sharpening of perspective, in the, you know, difference of ideas and experiences. And that's how we captivate people, is by being able to capture those differences, not being afraid of them or shunning them.
I, you know, sometimes, Cindy, I feel like I'm so far outside of my comfort zone. I can't even see my comfort zone anymore. It's like, like I'm floating out in atmosphere, which, you know, it can be terrifying and energizing at the same time. Cindy, we're going to take a quick break, but stay right there because we're going to come back and we're going to have more conversations with Cindy Campbell on the Crossman Conversation. Just give us a brief break.
It's said that it's not how much money you make, it's how much you keep and use to plan for your future. Nathan Meeks, principal at Meeks Capital, combines leading investment techniques with modern financial planning software to be the resource you turn to for clear, objective, and sound financial advice. For a no-obligation consultation, call Nathan at 407-494-5439 or visit meekscapital.com.
Are you willing to serve communities in crisis around the world? To people who are impoverished, oppressed, and persecuted? Frontier Partners International offers mission opportunities in areas least served to meet the needs of the helpless, the hapless, and hopeless. To learn how you can be a partner of this frontline ministry with your time, talent, or treasure, visit frontier-partners.com. That's frontier-partners.com.
The Crossman Conversation thanks Four River Smokehouse for helping to sponsor our program. From its inception, Four River Smokehouse has not only served delicious food in warm family settings, but they've been key leaders in creating positive social and financial impact in our Central Florida communities, such as their Four Rivers Farm, a healthy, thriving, sustainable food system. For a Four River Smokehouse near you, visit 4rsmokehouse.com.
Here's a call to those who want to make an impact on their company, their community, or who possess a desire to make the world a better place. Crossman Career Builders provides the tools and resources for you or your company to make a difference on some of the toughest issues that we all face. Crossman Career Builders partners with CEOs, politicians, and pastors seeking to address problems of racism, mental health, addiction, justice, and suicide. CrossmanCB.com.
Once again, here is John Crossman.
We're back at the Crossman Conversation with our guest, Cindy Campbell. And Cindy is, let's see, she's a real estate lawyer. She's super smart. She's super pretty. She's got beautiful kids. I mean, I don't know. Like, Mike, she just checks every box. Like I don't know. There's 17 boxes. They're all checked.
That's
like, all
funny.
Checked. Cindy's
this
just the
best.
This
is what has to happen when you're on a show with guys, okay?
She's just the coolest. She's the coolest. Well, Cindy, you know, you're talking before about getting outside our comfort zone and doing that to make impact. And so I want to move the conversation over to the topic of law school and the FAMU College of Law. And you're a graduate, correct? Graduate of the
FAMU
College?
Yes, I am.
Absolutely.
Proud graduate.
Proud graduate. Well, for people who don't know, the FAMU College of Law is the most diverse law school in the United States. And it's got about 50% Black, 25% Hispanic, 25% white. So it is diverse. It graduates more Black lawyers each semester than all the other state law schools combined every semester, which is amazing. And they do great work, produce great talent. What's amazing is, and Cindy, I want your response to this because you helped me with this. So I've spent a year, I held 50 lunches once a week with the dean of the FAMU College of Law and then different leaders from across, you know, Orlando. And I think you actually came to two of those lunches. Like, you did. You liked it so much, you came back. And so after a year of that, the dean and I did kind of a debrief. And here's what we talked about. We got phenomenal support. I mean, overall, unanimous support, basically, from the Black leadership of Orlando. And we got great support from, you know, white business CEOs and Republican politicians and, you know, I mean, all different, and pastors. I mean, all kinds of other groups are good. But it was really shocking after 1 year to see the complete gap between, I think if you walked in any restaurant in Central Florida, and this is probably true nationally in some level, and you said, hey, anyone who's Black, what's the difference between FAMU and Bethune-Cookman? They could tell you. And the average white person has no clue. And that was very striking after 1 year. Tell me your thoughts about that.
So many thoughts about this the topic of just HBCUs in general. I can say that here's what I will say. I will say that I cannot imagine having gone to law school at a predominantly white institution, particularly post George Floyd. Because when I think about it, you know, I've watched so many little documentaries about lawyers who went to predominantly white institutions and started to realize what the value was in me at my attending FAMU for law school. Number one, most of the cases that you study when you're in law school, particularly with constitution law and property law, you know, Black people were not a whole person at that time. And so I can't imagine having these discussions in a predominantly white space and to having to flesh out our constitutional evolution between segregation and, you know, the Jim Crow era and just Brown versus the Board of Education. Those discussions were had in a safe place for me, right? They opened my eyes. I had race in the law. That was, of course, critical race theory, the new buzzword. But which has been around for a long time. I can't overstate the value of an HBCU, particularly for law school in today's day and age. And even going years back, I felt like I learned Black history in a very safe place. And the fact that our law school is diverse, we have people from all perspectives. Like I said, it's not only Black people there. There are white people there. You mentioned there's Hispanics. And we were able to have these meaningful discussions that people are starting to have today at that time. And remember, FAMU has been around long before I went to law school. So people have been having these conversations, right, in a safe space. And so for me, I think that to your point about people not knowing the difference between FAMU and Bethune-Cookman, honestly, it's a willingness not to know. In 2022, you just don't want to know if you don't know.
Well, you know, let me respond to what you just said, and that I'm glad that you went to FAMU, and I'm glad that was a safe space for you, and I'm glad that that was, I'm going to use the word nurturing and helpful to you. And I'll respond to that by saying, telling a story that I believe affirms that. So I don't know who raised my kids, okay? But, like, my daughters are ridiculously conservative Christians, Cindy. I don't know how this happened. But, like, my oldest one, you know, they went to public school their whole lives, and we just did the big college tours and all that kind of stuff. And she chose Palm Beach Atlantic University, which is, you know, Christian University West Palm, which is not what I would have chose for her. I went to FSU. I thought maybe she should go to Auburn or something like that. She chose Palm Beach Atlantic. And so I asked her, why did she choose it? She said, you know, I've always been the minority of a conservative Christian my whole, you know, public, being a public school system. I want to have a season in my life where I'm around people that are nurturing who I am. And I'm like, yeah, I get that. I get that. And then when I've been on campus at Palm Beach Atlantic, are there students that attend there that are atheist or agnostic or some other faith? And the answer is yes, and they're welcome there. And so I'm like, well, that makes sense. It's like some people might say, well, why would we still need black colleges? And it's like, well, do we still need BYU? Do we still need, you know, military academies? Do we still need, you know, Christian schools? And the answer is yes. Like, we have a complex, lots of people out there. And so them having a space where they get nurtured is great. That said, you know, white people can go to Family College of Law and have a very good experience, right?
Absolutely. 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 Some of my, actually my study partner, you know what I'm saying? A lot of my colleagues now that I still keep in contact with are, they're not black, they're white, they're Hispanic, they're from all different walks of life. And we embrace each other, you know, it's just a very inclusive environment. And so I don't think, and, you know, again, I can't speak for everyone, but I don't think that people felt really left out or excluded at FAMU.
Do you think that, like, if me and Mike had gone to law school with you, and, you know, we're both, like, you know, white conservative Christian dudes, could we have been study buddies? Would we be okay if we were?
Of course, John, because in law school, it's not about who you are. Can you study? Do you know the material? And can we book these classes? That's what it's about. It's competitive. Okay, so you choose the best competitors to study with.
Well, I do want to say one last thing about black colleges, because, you know, I love black colleges, and then we'll move over, because I have one last quick question before we're going to wrap up. You know, I do think people are getting there. You know, I always say, like, was the 1965 University of Alabama football team the best representation of the athletes of the state? And the answer is no. It wasn't until 1971 when a diversified team from USC came in and beat the heck out of Alabama that the fans start saying, hey, maybe we should put the best athletes on our state out there. And so to me, it's like diversity is not about lowering a bar. It's about widening the net. And when I lecture at Florida, Florida State, and Ole Miss, and UNC, I see so many outstanding students at FAMU. We need to include these black colleges because there's a lot of great talents there. So we're gonna keep working on that. Now, yeah. One last question.
You know, John, it's not just the talent. Let me tell you something. FAMU, particularly the College of Law, because I went there. Okay, you have the hungriest students, the students who will work the hardest. You know what I'm saying?
And, yeah.
And the thing is, I have met some incredibly talented people at FAMU, you know, and I don't think that people know what type of talent is in that building, what type of professors are in that building. I think that I got such great mentorship in the building. I was challenged within the building. It really was a laboratory for just my development, my professional development. So, I mean, it's right there in the heart of downtown Orlando. I really challenge huge law firms, AmLaw 100 firms, go and choose your students from FAMU. You will not be disappointed.
Well, and listen, in the world we live today, if you don't have attorneys that look like your clients, you're going to have a problem. All right, so, Cindy, I have a big question for you. You're super smart, and you got to give me a quippy answer because we just like 90 seconds left.
Okay.
If I had you here sitting beside me and I was in a room together and there was 60 white middle-aged CEOs, and they're good dudes, okay? They're good guys. They're good guys. They're looking at you and they're like, oh, yay, Cindy, I like Cindy. And I was like, Cindy, they're for diversity. They're for all this. They want good things to happen. What do you want them to know? What's one thing you want them to hear to say, hey guys, you really need to hear this from Cindy as your white dudes in leadership and trying to make an impact? What's one thing they need to hear?
There are many things they need to hear.
we're on a radio show, so it's going to be fast.
Okay, I know. The one thing I would like you to hear is take action.
Ooh.
Walk the walk. Don't just talk it. Just don't just throw your checkbooks at it. Walk the walk. It's so important. So important to take action, tangible steps, you know what I'm saying, to make change. That if I have to boil it down to one thing, that's it.
Take action. Take action. I like that a lot. So it's to what you started with. It's like, hey, we really want to do this. Let's really make sure we lean in, ask hard questions, get people, and wherever they're in their space. You know, like no one person can boil the ocean, but each of us can take a step and be actionable in that area. So
and be intentional about it.
Yeah.
Be intentional.
Yeah. Well, Cindy Campbell, you know, Mike, we need to have her back because she's got some cool stories we haven't got to that'll blow your mind. She's from New York. She has a really fascinating story about her relationship with her stepdad, who did some really cool things to protect her, gave her some good insight as she was growing up. And yeah, and she's a lawyer. She's doing deals. She's leading. She's impacting. And I'm just so honored that she's my friend and she's a friend of the show. So Cindy Campbell, so grateful to have you as a guest on the Crossman Conversation. And as always, support your local HBCU.
This has been Crossman Conversation, produced by a Crossman Career Builders Mark Radio Production.